All right. Before we start, Heritage Heroes will stay in here tonight. And so kids are stuck. Sorry. I know they're all sad and crying. But deal with it. Life is tough. Get used to disappointments, right? Jack, can you turn me up just a bit? I'm a little soft tonight. I don't know why, but it's probably my voice, not the sound system. All right. Is that better? Is that better, Mrs. Talmadge? A little bit down, just a bit. We got just a little feedback.
Okay.
I like that. It makes me sound deeper. We need some help with our church cleaning schedule. The bathrooms for December has already been signed up by the Hemingways. Isn't that nice? Get a new family. Jump right in. And but we need someone for nursery for December and January. We need bathrooms for January, auditorium for December and January, and upstairs for December and upstairs for January. The Hobbs are leaving. And she's having surgery, I'm sorry, right? And she's leaving in January. So she said she's not doing anything. Can you believe that? She gets surgery and then she just says, I'm not working. Our finances at our church are probably going to tank because she's... But we need some help here. Who will do nurseries for December? Anybody? Nurseries. All right. Got that. Auditorium for December. Okay. Upstairs for December. All right. Rogers. Going into January, bathrooms. The dreaded bathrooms. Okay? Nursery for January. Okay, Donahue. And Veronica, I'll make sure that I put a Julie there. That way you guys aren't expected to do it, okay? All right. Auditorium for January. Okay? And upstairs for January. Okay? Done. That is great and a relief to a lot of people, especially our pastor. And so, all right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, or chapter 1 through 17. Sheldon, do you got your walking shoes on today? We're going to have a roaming mic. Before we get into scripture reading, take this. All right. Take that down to your new brother-in-law, would you? And give that to him. All right. Go ahead and hold that. What we're going to do is we're going to take some time. It's already on and ready to go, so be careful what you say. Because this is being recorded, and it will get back to preacher. But what we're going to do is we're going to take some time and just say what you're thankful for. I give you an easy one because you got an obvious answer right there. But not lengthy, though, because the longer that you guys take, then the longer it takes for me to preach. And I know a lot of people have a lot of stuff to do for tomorrow still. So if you guys are quick, but take your time, though, and tell us what you're thankful for this past year.
I'm thankful for my new wife, my
Amen.
New family, and my church family.
All right. That's good. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I'm thankful for a really good job.
Amen. Okay, Julie?
I'm thankful that my husband and I have been married for 31 years. Yesterday was our 31st anniversary. And I'm thankful that I have a great church family. We've been going here for 27 years.
Amen. Who's next? Okay, this is our test. I saw Aiden's hand up too.
My salvation and a faithful pastor.
Amen. We take a little bit more. I mean, we're not in that much of a hurry to get out of here.
I thank you for my parents.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Okay, back of the back. Or Mrs. Commander.
Thank you for my church family and for my salvation and for my husband.
What are you thankful for, son?
I'm thankful for my friends and my baby brother and my family.
Amen. What are you thankful for, Anthony?
I'm thankful for my Anthony, for Marcus and my little brother.
Marcus and his little brother. Okay. Okay, Scott?
Well, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm also thankful for my wife. I heard someone on the radio yesterday. This is not my idea. But they were calling a religious station, and they were taking call-ins. What are you thankful for? And I never thought about it. I want you all to think about this. This lady called in. She said she was thankful for the grocery stores we have in the United States. You think about when you go into a grocery store, we do it. We don't even think about it. We go in there every day. But you think about all of the options you have, and she was talking about third world countries and other countries. They may have one or two. We have dozens. Go to Albertsons and look how many feet of chips and pretzels they have. There's 30 or 40 feet in there. 15, 20 feet of ice cream. So when you go into a grocery store in the United States, thank God for all that stuff you have on those shelves to choose from.
And isn't it nice that they do a good job of making sure what's expired so that you don't get expired milk that's a little bit chunkier or meat that's been sitting for a while? And it's true. You go to third world countries, they don't, to them, there is no expiration date. You know, if you're going to eat it, go ahead and try it, you know. So we're very fortunate. So, all right.
So, I'm thankful for bringing us here and giving us a new church.
Amen. All right. There's some kids right in that same row. Sheldon.
I'm thankful for my cat.
All right.
And my I'm thankful for my church.
That's good.
I'm thankful for my family and my church.
All right. Clyde?
Thankful my family got back safely. I'm also thankful for a good church family here. It's good to have people you can go to for anything, any time of the day, and we can rely on.
Amen. All right. Well, all the way in your front. You better be careful. You better give it to her, otherwise she might back injury or something.
I might. I'm thankful that that the Lord has allowed me the opportunity to worship in this church.
Amen.
I've been praying for a college to go to for a long time, and I'm just thankful that the Lord answers prayers because I know where I'm going, and He answered when I asked Him.
Amen. And a good college, too, the best one. So, all right. I don't know. Somewhere in California. I'm thankful that God's mercies are made new every day. Amen. All right. Got in the back, Alex and Caleb.
I'm thankful for my family and my brother and my friend Marcus.
Aww.
I'm thankful for Margaret.
That's it? Not your mom, your dad, your sister, Marcus. Boy, he's a popular kid. All right, Rachel in the back.
I'm thankful that I have a good church to go to. When my husband and I lived in Minnesota, we didn't have near as much support for the family. And I'm just also thankful for the many prayers that came in when Sylvanus had a surgery and just how things went with the surgery and how things are going with his cast on and everything. It's
Amen.
Wonderful.
Right. Anybody else? Matthias, right there.
Thank you for this people.
All right. Anybody else? Sid? Nobody else is thankful? All right, buckle up then. You're getting for a ride. Colossians chapter 3, you can bring that on back up here. Let's all stand. We're going to read the first 17 chapters. But we'll be here all night. And if you can find 17 chapters in Colossians, something's wrong. First 17 verses, so does that sound better? Colossians chapter 3, I'll read, you follow along, in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And it goes on, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry. When you look at verse 5, this isn't my message, but when it says mortify, therefore, whenever you see that therefore, you go back just a little bit. Someone used to say you find out what it's there for. You go back. Why should we mortify our members? Because when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That should be our reason why we live a pure life. It's because we're going to stand before God one day. For which things sake the wrath of God, verse 6, cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's a message right there in itself. Well, that's some. We could read that, pray, and be dismissed if we really thought on that. And just, that's it. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Preacher just preached on that. Boy, about the Holy Spirit and singing and all spiritual songs. And then it says in verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You may be seated, and let's pray. Lord, we thank You as we gather to hear tonight that we can read Your Word. Lord, I pray that You be with me now as we have this short time of looking into the Scripture. I pray that You would give me the words to preach. Lord, I pray that You would be glorified in it, and that You are the one that we should be thanking. And to be thinking of You and all that You do. In Your name, amen. I've got good news for you. Preacher's clock that's up here, that he goes by so carefully, just went out. So I have absolutely nothing, well, that's not true, but to tell me what time it is. So, yeah, but that one's blurry. I can't see that far, so you're stuck. But good thing I do have a clock on my iPad and on my watch, but I don't look at that. Isn't that funny how somebody will have a watch and they'll ask people what time it is? Nobody, it's just kind of just for show anymore. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. As we come to this week of Thanksgiving, We kind of expect that a sermon will be preached on what you're thankful for and having a thankful heart and all of that, because this is the time of the year when everybody always gets thankful. Somebody once said, I don't remember if it was a preacher or somebody else, how it's amazing how we can be thankful on Thursday and kill each other on Friday. I don't get that. But, you know, people sit there and I was talking to a coworker. He said the first time he went out shopping on Black Friday. How many of you shop on Black Friday?
Just a few.
How many sleep? Yes, amen. That's what's important. Wait for Cyber Monday and do all your shopping online and be done with it. Don't have to fight any crowds or anything. But my coworker, I was talking with him, and he said the first time his wife got him to go out on Black Friday, and they were trying to get something, and a guy took his cart and rammed it into his wife's stomach to stop her from getting something so that he could get it. I thought, boy, that guy's lucky it wasn't me, because it would not have been good. But we're sitting there, and we have this time of Thanksgiving. And you gather around friends, and people have their traditions. You football in the front yard, or you watch football all day long now that they got three games on. There's all sorts of different things that you can do. People have different traditions, the cooking and the eating, the sleeping and the eating, and then eating some more. And then finally going to sleep sometime, you don't know when, because of tryptophan and all that good stuff in the turkey. And we'll sit for a moment and we'll think back on the year. And sometimes it's difficult for us to think of what we're supposed to be thankful for. Why is that? Most of the time it's because rather than thinking of all the things we should be thankful for, we're too busy thinking about all the difficulties in our lives, all the struggles, the burdens that we bear. We look at the finances and all that, and it weighs on us. And we forget about all the things that God has done for us. We think of the struggles that we went through. And if I were to ask you, if I got that mic out and I asked Sheldon to run it around, and I said, what difficulty did you face this year? Do you know what the difference would be? All the kids would have their hands down, and all the adults would raise their hands. If we were honest. A lot of times we don't want to talk about it. But it's easier for us to think about the hard things, the negative things, all of the terrible things, so to speak. It's easy for us to think about the sickness that we had, the news from the doctors. It's easy for us to think about the finances. It's easy for us to think about different things that have gone on in our lives and how it's changed. For some people that just moved to Montana, it's easy for them to look around and say, boy, where am I and what am I doing and why am I here? There's nothing else. I wish I could go back to where I was before. It's easy for us to think on those things. But then when it comes time for thankfulness, we think, well, I'll just do the regular. I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for my family that is healthy. I'm thankful that God gave me a good wife. I'm thankful for my new son that God gave me. The big event. We can remember the big events. But what else? So I started off with the easy one. It's easy for him to be thankful for right now. Why it's so fresh and new. They're not even a week into their marriage yet. He said, hey, I'm thankful for this. This is good. But then when you take out all of those major events, you take out the big things, what's left? What are you thankful for? So to run the mic around and say, okay, forget about your salvation, your family, and your friends. What are you thankful for? And right now, you're sitting in your seat, and you're giving me that look, oh boy, what am I thankful for? Because it's hard for us to think on it. It's hard. But you know what's easy is when people come up and are appreciative for us and they thank us for doing something, it's easy to remember those things. But when it's our turn to be thankful, it's difficult. There are a couple of things real quickly. Oh, look at that. It just came back on again. It's real faint, though. I think it's going to die again. Now I know it's 8:07 for everybody who's not been looking at your watches. I told my wife who's in the nursery, maybe we'll end a little early tonight. We'll see if I keep that promise or not. The first thing, when we have a thankful heart, it keeps us in the right frame of mind. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, we know it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those are the things that we should be pondering on. When we think on those things, and what, all right, let's break it down. What are the things that God has blessed you with that's true? That's honest. Right now, all you're thinking of is the things that are dishonest and the lies that people have told you. Because that's what we focus on. Our fleshly nature is to focus on the negative. That's why so many times in the Bible it says, hey, be thankful. Over 100 times the word thank or thankfulness or thanksgiving is used. It's like 137 times. I think God is trying to tell us something, to be thankful. But instead, we like to think of the lies. We like to think of the dishonest. It says, whatsoever things are just, we think of the unjust. We're supposed to think on the things that are pure, but a lot of times our minds are focused on the things that are not pure, on the sin and the wickedness of this world, the things that we're faced with all the time. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So easy for us to get off track on our mind. And then we wonder why we're depressed. We wonder why we get low. We wonder why we have peaks and valleys. Why our spirit can be good sometimes, and then you wake up and you just chalk it up by saying, well, I just had a bad day. I woke up and I wish I just stayed in bed. I got up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm a little grouchy today, so people are just going to have to deal with it. Why? We control our own attitudes. It's on us. You decide, what are you going to think about today? And those things are going to be what causes you to either have the right attitude or the wrong one. It's your decision. God gave us a free will. He loaded scriptures up with how we can have the right attitude. With the music and the things that we think on and all sorts of different things. He gave us the how-to, the manual. It's just on us if we want to follow it or not. Guys get the grief all the time of how they go to build something and the manual comes out on how to put this desk together. And, you know, they'll say, oh, I know how to do it, and they'll toss it aside and try to build it themselves because they're a man and they don't need instructions. But we can't be that way with the Word of God. We can't say, well, I'll just figure it out and I'll just, as I go on, I'll piece it together and work my way through it. Because when we do, we miss so much. And we fail. And then when we fail, We think on that. I can't read my Bible. Why? Because all the times that I haven't read my Bible, and I failed at it. I'm a failure at it, so I'll just stop trying. Because I don't want to feel like a constant failure, because when I'm trying, I'm reminded of how bad I am at it. So if I just stop, then I'll just ignore it and go on my merry way. And eventually I'll sear my heart towards that. That's what we do. I don't want to pray because I'm a failure. And we think about that. And then it plagues us. And then when we get the urge to try again and to get that fellowship with God reestablished and to have that devotion time and to have that time that Pastor Shearer was preaching about this past week, about being full with the Holy Spirit, and we get convicted about it and we come down and we sit at the altar, and the thing that comes back to our mind is the failures. And then when we go back to our house, we say, boy, I hope I can stick to it because I've failed so many times before. Then we wonder why we fail again. It's because our mind is focused on the failures instead of these things. Instead of being thankful that we have a pastor that preaches the Word of God, that convicts us, that has a desire for our church to grow. We don't think about that. Why? Because we're consumed with ourselves. We don't think about the God that gives us a chance time and time and time out again. We don't think about that. We don't think about where it says the just man falls down seven times and rises up again. We just focus on the negative. It helps us keep the right frame of mind and what we think on. When I think of being thankful, and when you really think about it, all the things we could be saying. There are a lot of things that God has given us that other people don't have, just as small as a grocery store. But we don't think about it because we take it for granted. We don't realize what we have until it's gone. And it's missing. That's when we're thankful. But the problem is when it comes back, then we're like, oh, this is so great. I have this. Veronica was excited when her power came back on. Guarantee it. Because, why? She went without it. She realized how important it was. But do we think about that? Well, it sure is nice to flip on a switch and lights come on. Sure is nice where we don't have to worry about how much power we're regulated. Sure is nice we don't have to worry about the storm that came through and now we have no power and electricity. And all our food is spoiled because of it, like in the Philippines. So our heart goes out to them when we hear it. Which reminds me, Pastor Shear wanted to let you know, if you have not given towards the generator and you promised, please do. See Renee, if you something's come up and you can't do it, please just let us know. That way we can plan on it and make the changes and correct it. But, you know, our hearts get tugged when preacher presents this and say, hey, this family's in need and they need a generator for $1,800. Let's see what we can do. And we hear the story and our hearts pull for them and we're thankful for what we have. And then when we get to our house, we've already forgotten about it because we're back in our routine. And then we got to sit down and say, okay, what am I thankful for? My family, my salvation, my job, my car. What else? That's about it. Right? We really don't have a thankful heart. That's what it all boils down to. Instead, the heart that we have is a prideful heart. When we don't have a thankful attitude, pride creeps in. We start to build ourselves higher than what it is. We're not thankful because we just think, well, I deserve this. I deserve a good house. I deserve a car that runs right. I deserve a good paying job because I'm a good person. Because I go to church. Because I serve God. So I automatically should get all of these things. It's all about me. And what I want and what I should get. And that pride creeps in. Job 35 verses 12 to 13 says, "There they cry, but none giveth answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it." Psalm 10 verse 4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." When we have pride, it creeps in, and our vanity and all of our vain thoughts comes in and all that. We build ourselves up to what a whole lot more than what we really are. The pride of his countenance. Your pride will keep you from God. Your pride will keep you from getting your heart right, getting rid of the sin that's in your life. Well, I don't want people to know that I've done this. I don't want people to know that I'm facing this. I can't come to the altar because people might think that I'm a sinner. We already know you are. It's just a matter if you're going to get your heart right with God or not. But what happens is your pride keeps you in your seat. Your pride keeps you from getting right. When you're at home and you're doing something and you know you should get right. Maybe you have a spat with your spouse, and boy, that pride just creeps in and says, "I'm not going to say that I'm sorry. I'm going to wait for her. I'm going to wait for him to come to me because I think I was right, and he was wrong or she was wrong, and so I'm going to wait because they need to come to me and get it right first." What is that? Well, that's pride. Rather than initiate it, it's say, "Hey, I don't want to be like this. Let's not have this type of attitude in our house. Let's get things right." But our pride stops it from happening. Because we're so worked up about ourselves. We build ourselves and put us on this big, huge platform. And we don't want anybody to tear us down. We don't want anybody to know that we have faults and failures. We don't want people to see the cracks that we have in our lives. Where sin has crept in. And our pride keeps us from serving God. It keeps us from getting our heart right. Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." When we have pride, what we're doing is we're keeping the praise and the glory for ourselves. It's like how preacher talks about when God gives us money and we take it and we stuff it in our pockets. Rather than having that attitude of the God gives us something and we're just going to give it out to somebody else. You know, God gives it down and we give it out to somebody else that's in need. And instead, a lot of times we take that money that God gives us and we just kind of stuff it in our pockets and we say, "Thank you, God. All right, now where's the more?" We do that with praise as well. Somebody comes up to you and says, "Oh, boy, I really enjoyed your singing." "Well, thank you. I worked hard at that song. It was a difficult piece. Thank you." And you know what you've done? You've taken that praise and you've pocketed it. And what happens is in that process, when we keep pocketing the praise that people are giving us, we start thinking ourselves a lot higher than what we really are. And the head starts to swell out. We start thinking ourselves that we're so great of a Christian. "Boy, thank you for your sacrifice that you did for this. Thank you for your work that you did." "Oh, thank you. Thank you for cleaning the bathrooms. We sure did appreciate it." "Well, I worked hard at keeping it clean. You're welcome." Rather than saying, then deflecting that praise to where it belongs. "Well, thank you for cleaning the bathrooms." And we should be, "Well, I'm just thankful that God has given me a place to serve. And what you've done, you've deflected the praise so that you're not absorbing it and getting yourself all full of yourself. Boy, you've got such a great singing voice. What a great job. You know, if God didn't give you that voice, I couldn't do much. I sure am glad that He has, because I get that from God. And He's the one that deserves the praise. So let's thank God for that, rather than you praising me. But thank you so much for this hard work that you did. Well, I know. Why? Because we like people telling us what we're good at. We like it. Why do you think people get around telling their stories about when they were in high school? You get the athletes, yeah, when I was in high school, I played basketball and I used to average so many points a game. Wow, you're really good. Yeah, and you're 40 years old and you can't even make it up and down the court one time. What good does it do? But we like hearing about ourselves. But when I was in school, somebody would, when I was teaching, I remember a student would say, hey, well, you were pretty good at soccer, weren't you? And I'd say, yeah, you know, I played. I had fun with it. Well, tell us how you scored. And I said, really, does it matter? Because it doesn't do me much good now. The ability to kick a ball in the net, you know, at 35 years old, 34 years old, really isn't that much beneficial. But boy, we like to tell the stories. We like to tell all the stories of even in spiritual things. Boy, I remember when, you know, I was in college and we led so many people to the Lord and it was great. Why? Because we like talking about ourselves. We like people hearing about it and thinking that we're something because of our pride. And we can use spiritual things to still build ourselves up. And God says, hey, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be able to do it. If you really think about it, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for when I woke up this morning, I got to put a foot down on the floor and stand up. Because I know people, Brother Nichols, that has gone over a year without the ability to walk. Woke up, and it was gone. I'm glad that God gives me the ability to speak. Because there have been people that have lost it, and they don't get it back. I think it was Lee Robertson that went a whole year without the ability to speak. It was gone. His voice was gone. God took it. Why? God had a reason. But I'm glad that I can actually open up my mouth. I don't think about it. I don't know how it happens, but words come out. Sometimes it comes out, and I think, boy, I'd like to have that back. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I got to open up my eyes, even though I got these contacts that are in there, and they'll dry out here in a couple hours. But I can see. I'm not like my friend Mitch Johnson, who's never known what it is to watch a beautiful sunset. Who doesn't have the ability to speak. Who can't walk very well. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I don't have to have hearing aids. So I would hate it to stick something in my ear every single day just so I could hear something. My heart goes out to Mrs. Talmadge and some of our other people that are elderly. When I go to the Eagles Manor and preach, I try really hard to speak as loud as I can. Why? Because I know that they struggle with it. And it's hard on them. And so many of us, we don't have that problem, and we don't even think about it. It's just part of life. Our kids, they get on our nerves. Or the people that wish they had kids. Our vehicle that we struggle with sometimes, and we go to the gas tank, and we fill it up. Now it's getting a little better. It's down to $2.99. Hallelujah. Keep on going down. We fill that up, and we're like, man. That hurt the pocketbook. Sure is nice being able to get into a vehicle. But my car has all these problems. You got one, don't you? Would you rather walk to work in 20 below or would you rather drive? Sure is nice. We like to focus on all the other things and then we like to think on all ourselves and our mind and our focus is just drifting away from what's important, which is the blessings that God has given us. What's really important. God gets the glory. That's what it's all about. God created this creation that we have. Why? So that it gives Him the glory. That's it. We get to enjoy it, but it gives Him the glory. The stars, they don't sing to us. They praise Him. The animals, they bow down to God. They already worship Him. What's our problem? They don't have to worry about pride. And we do. Isn't it amazing that He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. How thankful are we really? I think we should have an easier time this year if we really think about it and take some time and get honest with God. Get rid of that pride and say, God, I really need to be thankful. Not one time a year. Not just because it's Thanksgiving. That's part of the problem is we wait till Thanksgiving to be thankful and then we go a whole year without thinking about it again. Except for the big things. All that time, our pride just continues to grow and grow and grow. And when our pride grows, the bigger we are, the more that we push God out. The less involvement He has in our life. The smaller that we become, the more God has the ability to impact our lives. And the bigger He becomes in us. This Thanksgiving, let's be thankful for what God has given us. Lord, I pray that You'd be with us this evening. Lord, I pray that we would have a thankful heart. Lord, that we'd take some time and really think about it on a daily basis, all the blessings that You've given us. We don't deserve it. I've done nothing special to deserve my voice. Ability to walk, ability to hear. Thank You, Lord, for it. Lord, I don't deserve a church like this, a pastor that is so amazing. But thank You for him. Lord, I pray that we would think on these things, this Thanksgiving. In Your name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We will see you on Sunday.